It's December 8th, 2011. This is 508, a show about Worcester. Today on the show, Luna the dog.
Hi. Hey, girl. Hi.
Dog is petrified right now.
Oh. Hannah Converse.
Hi.
Brendan Mellican.
How are you? Also petrified.
And I'm Mike Benedetti. Today on the show, we have a lot of things. This is a show, a weekly program, where we talk about the city of Worcester. We attempt to not insult your intelligence, and we attempt to cover the news without being boring.
We might insult each other, though. Inadvertently.
We may insult other people, other people's intelligence, but hopefully not you, the viewer. The big news this week, we also recap the news on the show because there's people who only get their news from this show. We talk to them all the time. I don't know why they've made this decision. I respect it, though. The big news this week is that there was a fire this morning at an apartment on Arlington Street, and one Worcester firefighter, John Davies, died. And another Worcester firefighter, Brian Carroll, was in the hospital in stable condition. They went in to go after somebody who was thought to be in the building, and the building collapsed on top of them. And I feel like on this show, we're not equipped to really do justice to this kind of heroism. I think this is, it's an incredible sacrifice, but I think that's probably all we can say about this. And there's other news sources that will go into all kinds of detail and John's life the justice it deserves, I hope. Brendan, do you want to talk about other stuff then on this show today?
Yeah, what do we got?
Let's talk about the dog.
Speaking of
speaking of subjects that we can talk about and do justice to, dogs, cool dogs. Hi.
Have we received a dog on the show?
I don't know if we have or not.
Well, she doesn't bark.
Where did you get this dog? This fantastic dog.
The Sterling Animal Shelter.
Okay.
The first day I went there, it was closed. So then we went back on Tuesday.
Okay.
And this lovely lady, was very sweet. Mm-hmm. We have, pretty similar temperaments. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't allergic to her, which is a plus, because I'm allergic to some dogs.
So can you, what was your experience like getting a dog from the shelter?
It was good. It was a really nice facility, so you go in and look at dogs, and you can say,
she keeps trying to sniff the camera. Every time I put the camera away from her, she, starts trying to sniff the camera.
Do you want to smell it? Would that make you feel better?
She won't sniff it on the... She doesn't care about the lens. She just cares about the bottom part.
Smell it.
She's doing it again. All right, go ahead. Anyway.
Brett's
taking a photo of
the most evil picture of that dog. Amazing.
Oh, she's trying to eat my watch. That's what it is. Okay, anyway.
So I said that I wanted to spend some time with this one, and they have a nice, outdoor pen where you can spend, it's larger, maybe the size of this room.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just spend some time with the dog, see how you get along. And then I decided I wanted her because she's great. It's mm-hmm. a great fit. And started the application process. It doesn't take long, but they're careful. They want to make sure dogs are going to good homes.
Sure.
They left me, adequately equipped for the first night and whatever. They gave me the rest of her medication.
Okay.
Leash, collar, and some food. We're good to go.
Good deal.
And here we are, 2 days later.
Nice to meet her. Does she need to go into this crate over here now?
She will soon.
She will soon. Here it is. All right. Anyway, thanks, Hannah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for Hannah and Luna. So, stories of the week also to talk about. Let's talk about another story, which is kind of a good story. Occupy Worcester continues to be active in the city. At the end of their third week of basically having a 24-hour vigil in Lincoln Square, and their end of their third week of more or less sleeping in Lincoln Square, in the vicinity of Lincoln Square, they evacuated that. They couldn't use that parking lot anymore. And then it was very funny, like the TNG article about their final day, I don't know, I feel like the TNG has gone down a bad road as far as Occupy Worcester, as far as being super inaccurate. It was they will soon be going to an undisclosed private location in Webster Square. And I totally knew what this was. So I almost walked down there that morning. I saw that in the paper to videotape the first day of that occupation. But mm-hmm. I didn't do it. And it was a good move because I ran into some dudes at the bean counter and they were nah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And in fact, at the GA, I don't know if it was the night before or that night, they basically decided we're not going to do a 24-hour thing in Lincoln Square, and they want to try to occupy some land downtown. And at least as of the GA notes, the idea was we need to sort of get our ducks in the row before we try to do another occupation, physical occupation. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes.
And today is also the last night of the Occupy Boston.
As we speak, they're tents. Actually breaking down the camp in preparation for a midnight dance party with the literal dance party with the Boston Police Department.
Yeah, and by the time anyone sees this on television or even probably on YouTube, you will have more information about
than
that.
Then we will.
Yes. I want to bring up Marty Lamb just for the heck of it. Sullivan called me back.
Running for state rep.
He's running for state rep out of where?
Holliston. Yeah, Carolyn Dykema. He's planning on, she's a Democrat. He's planning on challenging her next time around. State Rep Marty Lamb. Maybe we can take the show on the road and he'll
call
come.
Call me, Marty. Call me back.
He'll come on and do a little interview for
call
a state
me
rep.
Call me back, dude.
All right. There was a shooting in front of City Hall. A guy was killed in front of City Hall. Like, this is last week, right?
Last week.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't talk about it on the show, because originally, so this was...
Yeah, it was actually last Thursday.
I'm glad we didn't talk about it on the show, because last week when... So what happened was, a guy was arrested in this, actually. Patrick Pierre was arrested. He's, according to the paper, a known member of the Kilby Street gang. He shot Javier Santiago, who lived at Plumlee Village, in front of City Hall.
In front of City Hall.
As part of a larger altercation. And the day that Javier died, the initial report was that there had been a gun was fired but didn't hit him, and then I guess they found the gunshot wound after that initial report. And I feel like that's sort of the other big piece of local news besides the fire of the last week and a half, maybe, and also the PIP thing we talked about last week. I don't know if there's anything else we can comment about, like, a gang shooting.
Yeah, as experts, right? I mean, yeah, the shooting is interesting because, I mean, we just don't have that many as of late, right? I mean, it's been a...
We don't have that many in front of City Hall.
We don't have that many in front of City Hall, and it, I mean, in terms of raw numbers, you know, they...
Do you know what time it was?
Coming down... yeah, it's middle of the afternoon. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It was younger people. Some school getting out and whatnot, interacting. But, yeah.
There it is. We have a new Happiness Pony is out. This is the December Happiness Pony. Big headline this month, You Are Theseus. Also some information about Conrad Aiken in this issue. Worcester Magazine has their Hometown Heroes 2011 issue. You know, if you watch the show, that we love talking about these sort of, like, we're going to just have a bunch of people profiled issues of things. Last week they had people profiled because they were beards. This week they had people profiled because they're doing cool stuff. We have Shrina Bindra, a friend of this show. Maureen Benenda, who is principal of South, I guess. Alex Haralambades.
I've never done a good job with his name, but he's another great guy.
Let me tell you, as someone with a... In the same way that I can make fun of Italians, I can make fun of people with long last names.
That's a tough
it's
one.
Okay. Alex Haralambades, local poet. Carlos Garcia, who is a boxing coach, I think, at the Boys and Girls Club. Sarah Harold, a friend of this show. You know, also moving out of the city of Worcester, this is just ridiculous. Worcester Magazine needs to use their power for good and say, if you're going to win an award for us, you have to sign a thing that you're going to stay in Worcester at least 6 months after winning the award. You can't just, like, move the next week.
It doesn't say whose hometown. It just says...
Well, I guess from her, Worcester's everyday champions. Well, she isn't. Anyway. Yeah. Sarah Harold, best known for Woo Daddy Waffles.
At this point, can we really complain?
Also other stuff. A dog lover, also, Sarah Harold. Chris Horton of the Anti-Foreclosure Task Force, doing a fantastic job these days. David LeBeouf, 508 appearer, who has done a lot of election, trying to get people to vote. And Jim Weilu, the outgoing director of the Art Museum. And there it is, Brendan.
Heroes.
Yeah, people who are doing good stuff. And two of them actually are in the same collective. Two of them are from the Butterside Down collective. Nobody from any of the other collective houses that I see. So all I got to say is, you know, Distant Castle, Firehouse.
What's up?
Starship X. Step up, people.
We got work to do.
You got
to
raise your game.
2012.
We can't have everybody from one thing winning all the awards.
Isn't that kind of the way it works in local media, though? It is just always, like, people from one thing. When
you know, even if there's selection bias, though, even if there's a selection bias here,
and give the appearance
you
got to
get inside the process. Mm-hmm. You got to get inside the process.
Can I be honest with you, everyone? Yeah. I feel as though that dog was a better guest today than I've been. That dog who said nothing and barely moved other than the smell of your watch. You're not going to win. I feel strongly that that dog was a better guest.
Well, I think it was W.C. Fields who said never perform with children or animals.
Seriously, you're going to see always what's going
are,
on there right
are
now.
They always are going to upstage you. What is this?
You throw your laundry in there. It's getting crazy.
Nobody can see because there's no light. Hi. Always sees a dog emerging from a cave of darkness.
Hi.
Hi, Luna.
Too shiny.
Spin around in circles.
Dogs rule.
It's on a spin cycle.
Okay. I want to talk, unless you, do you have any other topics of the week?
You know, I don't want to spend any more time on it again, because I don't think it's something that's really, you know, be experts on, but it's at least worth mentioning this WBUR story, the two-part story on the police department that interview for a murder confession gone horribly awry. Mm. And that's not my my expertise, but it's there. And if you're interested in things that could be perceived as police wrongdoing, WBUR.org. They've got a great story on a murder case in Worcester where, you know, the only evidence in the case was thrown out by a judge because of what was perceived as being potential coercion on the part of the interviewing detectives. That's all I got.
There you go. That is an interesting story.
I want to talk about something we probably should have talked about weeks ago, which is to review our election coverage. And I'm thinking about this. So our election coverage, we sort of attempted to do this extremely issues-oriented coverage of the election, and focus on, like, what are the issues that people wanted to hear. We spent months talking to people about what are the issues you want to hear the candidates discussing, and then the candidates who we were able to get on the show, we only asked them about those questions, as well as how much they could bench and who's their favorite character on The Wire. And I don't know, I feel like it was, like, mixed I feel like it had very mixed results. Like, I feel like, and actually, I was just reading that some people from NYU are working with The Guardian, you know, the Manchester Guardian, to do, I guess, U.S. election coverage using this exact same principles for the upcoming election. The Guardian is apparently expanding their U.S. coverage and, like, starting a U.S. website and stuff like this.
That's good.
Yeah.
So that tends to be where, you know, European press seems to be where I get most of my U.S. news now. So
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see it. So,
I feel like our coverage was not really what it needed to be, though. I feel like we don't do enough.
Well, you know, this is
we don't have enough hours of coverage. Anyway, go ahead.
I think it's worthy to note that one, this is not our full time job.
Yes.
So there's never enough time for preparation.
Many weeks, it's not any kind of a job.
It's not any kind of a job. So that said, I think it would be just as fair to say that while we may not have done an incredible job, the candidates running for office may also not have done an incredible job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the questions that you were asking, I mean, you asked fairly and evenly to each candidate.
Yeah.
If they didn't have spectacular answers for them, that's not really your fault. The questions themselves, I think, still stand and were meaningful questions, probably more poignant and meaningful than the majority of questions asked in professional debates through the election cycle.
Sure.
I wouldn't be too hard on yourself.
Well, I'm just
there's always room for growth, though.
I'm not just complaining just to complain. I'm just trying to sort of share.
Yeah.
I feel like what we learned. Like I felt like half. I feel like, so we had like 7 or 8 questions we would ask people, which worked out, which made an easy, very easy half hour interview with people. You would ask them 7 questions, and they would answer them, and that was basically half an hour of a show. But I did also. I definitely got some people said like, "Hey, it was really cool to like watch these. Like, I got a sense of who the candidate was because you're sort of getting them in half an hour, and we sort of try to put people. We sort of try to get people to be kind of real on the show and get a sense of where they're thinking and how they talk and how they you know go about things and what they're about. But definitely, people also were like, "I don't really get who this person is or where they stand on the issues." I got this comment about the Soraya Rivera interview.
Yeah.
And so, like, for somebody like me who sort of, like, worked on different things in District 4 for a number of years, and, like, she was always, like, around the things that I was working on, I was sort of like, okay, I know, like, what she stands for and the issues that are important to her, et cetera. And I don't know that it necessarily came out in the interview. And there's some people who I think want to hear that kind of a thing. And
yeah.
I don't know. I almost feel like the thing to do would be to have less questions for a half-hour show.
But that, again, going back to what I said a minute ago, I mean, Paul Clancy is leaving the city council today after 453 years on the city council, right?
Yes.
I mean, he was actually there before the city was chartered.
Yes.
He was already sitting in that seat. I have absolutely no idea what Paul Clancy stands for, other than the fact that he seems to be trying to impress upon the city that without him we will all be lost in the wilderness. Other than that thing that he's trying to do over these last couple weeks, no idea what he stands for. From week to week, it's just like one kind of speech, grandstanding sort of speech after another. So, I mean, to say that like we didn't really learn that much from a newcomer, well, all we know then is that they fit right in.
That's true. I mean, well, and the city council's like very into this whole like we're not going to do anything.
They're all politically ambiguous. I mean, there's a handful of them that seem over the last couple of years more than ever, I think, have taken attempted to take stands on things. You know, Rick Rushton and it was Joe Petty and it was Mike Germain and Joe Bryan did it for the Arizona. That I got those right. And I apologize if I didn't. But
maybe it was Jeff Smith rather than
Germain or than
Petty. Anyway, yeah, but so you have like Rushton and O'Brien, or you know, are sort of like predictably will take on some liberal causes,
or just stand for something, even if it might be absurd. Stand up on Germain will throw something out once in a while just to kind of point out to everybody that they're being comically absurd.
Yeah,
that's nice for the purpose of levity, I guess. But really, it's a very politically ambiguous group of people. Mm-hmm. I guess next year we need to bring drills and an acetylene torch and a few ice picks to get real answers out of people. I don't know. Or two years.
Well, so next year we would get like local state rep elections.
Yeah, but it's still to be seen if anyone's gonna have challengers. So I mean, what's
okay? Or it was be seen is what's his face?
Congressional race.
Spam
and John Mahoney.
Our state rep. Has he? He's like. I mean, like I don't know. I mean, he's like sort of been like a pretty much in stealth mode his first year. Yeah?
I think he's been kind of hunkering down and getting a feel for the lay of the land, right, so to speak. But I think we could probably get him on here without much difficulty.
I would be interested to talk to him and just find out, like, what is he up
Who's
to?
Who's in charge of your email account? Yeah. Get to the bottom.
He hasn't spammed me in a while. Mm-hmm. Maybe Google has figured it out.
He learned his lesson.
I think Google has just figured out all his emails are spam. I should just search my spam folder.
I'm still getting emails from him, so that's
There you go. Anyway, well, it was a fun and interesting way to try to handle the election, but it just made me realize, like, I don't know, like, we've done a number of projects on the show over the years, and the ones that, like, don't work out great just sort of fall by the wayside, and the ones that work out great become, like, part of the way that we do the show, and I don't even think we realize.
I mean, and look, the reality is always going to be that candidates would prefer if they were ignored. Right, so they don't ever have to be put on the spot. Yeah. And I think most mainstream journalists are always just hunting for what would be perceived as red meat. Mm-hmm. The reality is that neither of those things teach you anything about the character and usefulness of a human being in terms of their ability to control some aspect of your life. So I think what we did was, you know, an admirable first attempt at trying to get to the bottom of, you know, the question of who these folks are and are they actually good for us in our city.
You know, I feel like a lot of the print coverage, at least, is frustrating in that, you know, like in the TNG, there's certain constraints on like what you can write, how you can write it, how mm-hmm. long articles have to be, how specific they can be. And so a lot of the articles, and I've complained about this before, tend to be like a little too long and insidery for somebody who doesn't know anything about the subject mm-hmm. and way too short and shallow for somebody who cares. Mm-hmm. They seem to be written for like nobody. And I think that like this is like the election coverage was very hard for me. The Worcester Magazine's roundup actually was my favorite election coverage of the whole thing, which is they just basically were like, here's a paragraph. We're going to bring up every kind of distinguishing detail we can about the candidates. It's going to be slightly tongue in cheek. And we're actually going to like more or less make endorsements as part of this. And I saw on their website, there were people like putting up comments like, I don't even know what this is supposed to be. This is a confusing form of coverage to me. And to me, this was great. To me, this was totally stepping outside of like the newspaper endorsement. And like the TNG could never run anything like this. And that's why it was a great and interesting thing for me.
When you just described how it's the newspaper coverage tends to be either one or the other in terms of too little or too much. It just dawned on me that it's almost another place where Wikipedia probably has figured out like the actual way to do things. Where if you grab your average Wikipedia article on a person of note, mm-hmm. that above the fold section is that like the Cliff Notes bio. Tells you everything from when and where they were born to their last prostitution scandal. You know, and everything in between in just one little bite. And then you get below
Basically, it's like Jerry Lewis. Is he alive or dead? You find that out in the first paragraph.
Yeah, and then below the fold, like a novel on every detail of that person. Like where they get their coffee in the morning, you know, the route they take to work.
Ten paragraphs on the day the clown cried. Yeah. You're going to get all that kind of stuff.
And that's probably the way modern journalism should be. Like where you have like just this little nugget for the folks that are really the network news types that, that want all of their information to come in under 30 seconds leading into a commercial break. But follow that up with something bigger that would probably make the journalists happy to actually flesh out a story as well and combine the two.
Yes, and I don't think that this is at all... I'm not trying to at all criticize the political reporters of the Telegram. I'm
probably is like
saying
a way
that the
form
is frustrating and seems in... You know, I think about... This is, again, like getting into stuff which has nothing to do with the city of Worcester, just has to do with journalism. Like, I can think of two kinds of things, two kinds of journalistic tools that work for this. One is, you know, you either have, like, the long, like, magazine-style profile, like New Yorker-style profile, right? Like, that's obviously something the Telegram doesn't have the space, is not going to run thousands of words about John Mahoney or something. And then the other thing is just, like, the regular, like, inverted pyramid style, which, like, if you've ever taken a college journalism class or high school journalism class, you've learned, which is, like, the top, the first sentence is all of the, you answer all of the five questions of who, what, where, when, why, and how, and something else possibly, which, in that first sentence, and then, like, you sort of build paragraphs after that of, like, the most important to the least important. And that's originally, like, a thing so that if the editor is trying to edit for space, he can just cut off paragraphs from the end, knowing that that's the least important information. Right. But people don't like writing this. People like writing these opening paragraphs that like don't outline the issue or don't answer major questions or like written more along the lines of like the opening paragraphs of a feature. So they kind of draw you in or they kind of try to have some sort of witty observance or whatever rather than just like the straight up like here's the deal.
Right.
You know, and like that's that's the other tool that like for some reason I don't know. They don't like using it as much as they should.
Well, and there's probably something to be said for that in terms of knowing their audience as well, too, where if you're writing, if you are covering politics in Worcester, although you're always going to have the newcomers who are truly interested in Worcester politics and local politics in general, the majority of the electorate, the people who are actually following this stuff, tend to be pretty insidery to begin with. You know, I mean, the folks who are paying attention probably do know a little bit of a background on the guy who's been sitting on the council for 435 years.
Yeah.
So you don't need to do that, really flesh out the who of that person. You can kind of jump right into the latest scandal or the absurd thing that they said last Tuesday night.
Yeah, I don't even feel like it's... You know what, though? That's the thing, right? It's like, if they're going to have an article about, say, Mike Germain, right? Like, it's not going to... You're not going to have a good primer of, like, what is the deal with Mike Germain... You're never going to get that primer from them. And then, you're never going to get, like, for the real obsessive, crazy fans of Mike Germain who exist out there, are never going to be really that satisfied.
Right.
They're going to say, this is leaving a lot out. This isn't really picking up the most interesting parts of it. It's just an issue of space. I don't know. I don't know how we got to talking about this.
You invited me over. That's what happens.
Man. Right, hello, everyone. You're either looking at a computer screen or watching... WCCA TV 13, the People's Channel.
Snoring.
I feel like we should do a station identification in the middle of the show. What else is going on in Worcester? I mean, it's kind of like getting towards the end of the year, so you think it's supposed to be not a exciting news time of the year. But again, just because of these unfortunate fatalities, it has been this week. I don't know. People are going to talk about the PIP thing. There's nothing to say about that either, in my opinion.
I kind of get the impression that on a very high level, folks are kind of getting beaten up from all sides just with the general chaos that is existing in the world as a whole. And it must be kind of hard to just kind of focus in on a lot of these local issues for any extended period of time, right? Like, I mean, you can't, like, look at the stock market without realizing what's taking place both here and abroad in terms of economies. There's, like, saber-rattling, proverbial and literal, I guess, all over the world in terms of war. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably just a bad time of year, not just because the year is winding down and things tend to get slow now, but because there's so much going on externally that's really hard to nail down, that's just frustrating from a focus.
There's, like, major crises to try to follow that are more impactful than, say, pit bull muzzling issues.
But do you really want to take your eye off the local issues at the same time? Can you afford to?
I don't know. I don't even know what the local issues are. Brendan, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure.
We'll do better next week. We'll bring back the dog.
People should adopt a dog for Christmas. I don't know.
People should adopt a dog for a TV show host.
They're great. Hey. If somebody has a parrot.
That's what we need. 508 viewers, if you have a parrot, we need to borrow it for exactly
this could be our
minutes.
Next project. It would be interviewing pets about local issues. It would be adorable. Not informative, but way more adorable than the Telegram. So we would have, at least there, we could beat them.
We need a rambunctious monkey in a diaper.
Oh! All right, let's end on that note. We'll see you next week.